Good morning, everyone. Welcome here. Special welcome to the visitors. We're glad you're here with us. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. I've prepared a short children's meeting, so I'm going to ask all the children to come up to the front. We got some benches reserved for you. So if it's okay with your parents, I don't really care what age you are. Come on up. Sing the where part. Can you do that? All right. All together. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. One morning, he had an idea. Boys, come here, please. I want to show you something. See that single stick? Break it. See how easily that broke? Now, try to break this. Oh, can't break it. You can't break it either. Do you see? Like the stick, alone you are weak. But together, like the bundle of sticks, you are strong. Stay united. Help each other. That is how you grow and never fall. Finally, the brothers understood. From that day on, they worked together. They shared. They helped one another. The old man smiled, knowing his family was strong. Stay together. Don't fight. Help each other do what's right. Be a team, strong and kind. Unity is power. Keep that in mind. Thank you. So here's a question. Why was the old man tired and sad?
Yeah. Because they kept fighting.
Yeah, they kept fighting all the time. What happened when the boys tried to break the single stick?
Yeah. They didn't break it?
The first one that only took them, but Remember, it broke really easily, right? And then what happened when they tried to break the thick bundles? They couldn't break that. So all together, they are strong. Let's sing one more song all together. We'll sing one verse of when we all work together, work together, work together. When we all work together, how happy we'll be. When your work is my work, and my work is your work. When we all work together, how happy we'll be. Let's sing. When we all work together, work together.
Well, that was, I hope, a simple illustration, introduction to our sermon this morning. The title of the sermon this morning is Stronger Together. So I'd like to read Ecclesiastes 4. You may stand, please, and we'll read the entire chapter. Ecclesiastes 4. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of the oppressors there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought the dead who are already dead more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and striving after wind. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son or brother. Yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches. So that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. I saw all the living move about under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a striving after wind. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, thanking you for the opportunity to meet in this way. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your spirit. Please give us a desire to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Toward the end of his life, the penitent King Solomon pondered life in the wake of the fall and the outworking of man's sin. Solomon drew the conclusion that people are stronger together. This morning, I want to look at five areas that show we are stronger together. They are found in verses 7 through 12. The first point I've called community. It comes from verse 7 and 8. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son or brother. Yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, "For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?" This also is vanity and an unhappy business. We live in a world more connected than ever, phones, internet, social media, and yet many people feel deeply alone. You can be surrounded by people and still feel isolated. That's not new. Thousands of years ago, the writer of Ecclesiastes observed the same thing. A man completely alone, working endlessly, but empty inside. This verse is not just about loneliness, it's about the absence of community, and it shows us something important. We were never meant to do life alone. There was a man all alone. That's where it begins, not with wealth, not with success, but with aloneness. This man had no close relationships, no family, no meaningful companionship. And what's striking is his life was full of activity. He was busy. He was working hard. But busyness is not the same as fulfillment. You can have a full schedule and still have an empty heart. Without people, even success feels hollow. That's why this man eventually asks, "For whom am I toiling?" It's a question many people quietly wrestle with today. God designed us in such a way that meaning grows in shared life, not isolated achievement. When life becomes only about me, my goals, my success, my gain, it eventually loses its joy. Community shifts our focus from getting to giving, from accumulating to sharing, from self to others. Without that shift, even good things like work and provision become empty. Biblical community is more than just being around people. It means shared life, walking through highs and lows together. It means mutual support, helping each other in times of need. It means accountability, sharpening and strengthening one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." It means encouragement, lifting each other up when life gets heavy. I'd like to look at marks of the true Christian found in Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. You can turn there if you like. Romans 12, verse 9 to 21. "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." A true encounter with Jesus is evident in how we treat fellow believers. When he transforms our hearts, we show genuine love by valuing others above ourselves. Community is not about convenience, it's about commitment. The second point I'd like to look at is productivity from verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Two are better than one. That sounds simple, but it's life-changing. Two are better because work becomes lighter. Burdens are shared. Joy is multiplied. What one person struggles to carry alone, two people can carry together. God's design for productivity is not isolation, it's cooperation. In a world that celebrates individual success, this verse reminds us that we accomplish more when we work together. Casey Stengel of your beloved New York Yankees said, and I quote, "Getting good players is easy. Getting them to play together is the hard part," end of quote. Productivity is about return, not just effort. This verse says they have good return for their labor. Notice it doesn't just say they work more, they get a better return. That means greater impact, better results, more lasting fruit. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 17 and 18, Moses was putting in long hours advising and judging the people of Israel. Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, had some advice for him, and he said, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." You can work long hours alone and still struggle to see results. But when you work with others, ideas improve, mistakes decrease, efficiency increases, collaboration leads to better outcomes. Productivity requires humility. Working with others sounds good, but it's not always easy. It requires letting go of control, listening to others, admitting you don't have all the answers, because the truth is pride isolates, but humility connects. If we insist on doing everything ourselves, we limit what we can accomplish. But when we invite others in, we expand what is possible. So here's a question. Are you trying to do everything on your own, in your work, in your family, in your ministry? Maybe God is inviting you to ask for help. Partner with someone, build a team. Because your productivity might not increase by doing more, it might increase by doing it together. If you want to go fast, you can go alone. But if you want to go far and be truly productive, go together. The third point I'd like to look at is stability, found in verse 10. "For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." This verse gives us a clear picture of something we all need in life, stability. When we think of stability, we often think of balance, of standing firm, not falling. A practical example of this is on the construction site when setting trusses. One person, usually very agile, is assigned to run the ridge. That is exactly as it sounds. You are literally stationed at the peak of a building and you grab and fasten each truss as it is swung into place. Of course, you are always tied off, so you're never really in danger of falling. But the truth is, life is not about never falling. At some point, every one of us will stumble. We face challenges, disappointments, failures, moments of weakness. So the question is not, will I fall? The real question is, what happens when I do? Verse 10 gives the answer. Stability comes from having someone there to lift you up. Think about that time you struggled, maybe emotionally, spiritually, or physically. What made the difference? Was it your strength alone? Or was it someone who stood beside you, encouraged you, or simply listened? That is the kind of stability that this verse is talking about. Not independence, but interdependence. The verse paints two pictures. First, a person who falls and has someone to help them up. That person may stumble, but they don't stay down. Why? Because they are supported. Second, a person who falls and has no one to help them. The Bible says, pity that person. Why? Because isolation makes every fall harder, deeper, and longer. I'd like to look at Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Thanks, Sean, for reading those verses. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Burdens are extra heavy loads, which here represent difficulties or problems people have trouble dealing with. And to bear means carrying something with endurance. Stability in life is not found in standing alone, it's found in standing together. This applies directly to our families, our friendships, and our churches. A stable family is not one without problems. It's one where members lift each other up when problems come. A stable friendship is not without disagreements. It's one where support remains, even in difficult moments. A stable church life is not without struggles. It's one where we are surrounded by people who care and help us stay grounded in faith. Who is helping you stay stable in your life right now? And just as importantly, who are you helping? Because this verse is not just about receiving help, it's also about being the one who lifts others up. Sometimes stability comes through a kind word, sometimes through a listening ear, sometimes through prayer, encouragement, or simply being present. Small acts can make a big difference in someone's life. I'd like to look at some examples of Christ found in Romans 15, verses 1 to 7. You can turn there if you like. Romans 15, 1 to 7. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Ultimately, our greatest stability comes from God. Even when people fail us, God never does. He lifts us up when we fall, strengthens us when we are weak, and surrounds us with others to support us. So as we go forward, let's remember this. We will fall at times. We will need help, and others will need us. But together with God at the center, we can live lives of true stability. When someone falls, be the one to reach out and lend a hand. And when you fall, don't be afraid to take one. The fourth point from verse 11 is intimacy. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? There is something deeply human about the need for closeness. From the very beginning, God said that it is not good for man to be alone. We were created for connection, for relationship, for intimacy. In this verse, the writer of Ecclesiastes gives us a simple but powerful image. two people lying together, sharing warmth. In the ancient times, people would travel together in groups, and when it came time to stop for the night, the inn that they stopped at was neither a holiday or a comfort. No, they would lie down in a group and cover themselves with one large blanket. The nights were cold, and survival often depended on closeness and shared body heat. Alone, a person could freeze. Together, they could live. If you did insist on traveling alone, you would need to take a lot of extra blankets to survive. This created a much heavier and more awkward load. This picture teaches us something deeper than physical warmth. It points to the power and necessity of intimacy. In terms of marriage, how can you stay warm alone? Question for you married couples: when you're angry, do you snuggle? Are you kidding? It's get your own blanket, right? And maybe in an attempt to make peace, you sneak your toe over there and it's like, hey, get your toe out of there. You know, it's tough to snuggle a bobcat. But seriously, if we have issues, we need to resolve them before the sun goes down. Intimacy implies vulnerability, trust, and openness. Intimacy means letting someone see who you really are, not just your strengths, but your struggles. That can feel risky, but it's the only way to experience real warmth. Many people avoid intimacy because they fear rejection, so they keep a safe distance. But distance always leads to coldness. What about intimacy in church life? We are not meant to just attend, we are meant to belong. Real fellowship brings warmth to our spiritual lives. Human relationships are important, but they point to something even greater. Our deepest need is intimacy with God. God does not call us to distant relationship. He invites us near. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Draw near. Pursue an intimate love relationship with God. Cleansing the heart, cleansing the hands symbolizes exterior behavior. This phrase refers to the inner thoughts, motives, and desires of the heart. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." The word abide means to remain or stay around. The remaining is evidence that salvation has already taken place and not vice versa. The fruit or evidence of salvation is continuance in service to him and his teaching. The abiding believer is the only legitimate believer. Abiding and believing are actually addressing the same issue of genuine salvation. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." David writes this psalm while hiding in the wilderness of Judea, but longing to be back worshiping in Jerusalem. Through prayer, through his word, through obedience, we draw close to him. When we are close to him, our hearts are warmed, our burdens are lighter, and our lives have direction. Distance from God always brings spiritual coldness. Closeness brings life. Life becomes a heavy load when alone you walk the road. The fifth and final point I'd like to look at is security from verse 12. What makes you feel secure? For some people, it's a locked door at night. For others, it's money in the bank, a steady job, or having a plan for the future. We all want that sense of security, something that tells us, I'm going to be okay. But the truth is, even with all those things, life can still feel uncertain. Things happen that we didn't plan for. The vehicle breaks down, the appliances wear out, the mortgage rates go up, and the economy softens. Situations come along that we can't control. And in those moments, we realize something. Security has to be deeper than what's just around us. Verse 12 says, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Let's just walk through that together. First, the writer says, though one may be overpowered. I appreciate how honest that is. He doesn't pretend that life is easy. He doesn't say, if you're strong enough, you'll be fine. He says plainly, sometimes one person gets overpowered. Have you ever felt like that? Like things were just too much? Maybe it was stress or discouragement or temptation or just exhaustion. We all hit moments where we realize, I can't carry this on my own. And yet our natural instinct is to try anyway. We isolate. We keep things to ourselves. We think, I should be able to handle this. But the truth is, going through life alone leaves us vulnerable. Sorry, too much AC this week. Then he says, two will withstand him, or two can defend themselves. Now things start to shift. There is strength in not being alone. When you have someone beside you, things change. When you are discouraged, someone speaks encouragement. When you are confused, someone offers wisdom. When you are struggling, someone stands with you. Maybe that person is a close Christian friend, a relative, or a spouse. Think about it. How many times has a conversation with the right person lifted a weight off your shoulders? God didn't design us to do life solo, and this isn't just about having people around. It's about real connection. People who know you, who care about you, and who walk with you. Because two people together can face things that one person alone might not survive. When there are attackers, you need solid backers. But then the writer takes it one step further, and this is a key. He says a threefold cord, or a cord of three strands, is not quickly broken. How many of you have been to the Golden Gate Bridge? Not too many. I have never been there. I'm hoping Juanita will go with me there someday. The Golden Gate Bridge is an iconic 2.7 kilometer long suspension bridge in San Francisco spanning the Golden Gate Strait. The bridge deck is 90 feet wide. There are two main support towers that are 746 feet tall. 500 feet above the bridge deck and 246 feet from the bridge deck to the water. Over these two huge support towers are draped two massive cables measuring over 3 feet in diameter. These cables contain 27,252 individual galvanized steel wires. There was approximately 129,000 kilometers of galvanized wire used to manufacture the two load-bearing cables. Of course, there are many more suspender cables going down to the bridge deck to support the load. I know it's not a three-strand cord, but the point is, engineers know that by weaving many strands together, it's possible to create an incredibly strong cable. So in our relationships, what is the third strand? It's God. That is where real security comes from. Not just having people in your life, but having God at the center of those relationships. Because people are human. We fail. We get tired. We don't always have the right answers. But God, He doesn't fail. He doesn't weaken. He doesn't leave. When God is the third strand, he gives strength. He brings peace when life feels unstable. He holds things together when they start to fall apart. That's true in friendships. That's true in families. And it's especially true in marriage. Any relationship without God at the center is missing the strongest strand. So let me bring this down to something practical. Are there areas in your life that you are trying to handle on your own? Is there something you are carrying or that you've kept to yourself? Something you haven't shared? A struggle you've been trying to manage on your own? You weren't meant to carry it alone. Who are the two in your life? Who can you call? Who can you open up to? And even more important, where is God in the middle of it all? Because it's not just about having support, it's about being anchored. Let me leave you with this. Security isn't found in independence. It's not found in trying to be strong enough on your own. Real security is found in real connection with others and with God at the center. A single thread can break. Two threads might hold for a while. But a cord of three strands woven together with God is not quickly broken. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." This morning we look briefly at community, at productivity, stability, intimacy, and security. It is not possible to properly live out these areas in your own strength. We need the power and grace of Jesus working in us. Reach out to him, accept his offer, and discover how we can be stronger together. Jake, you got a closing song, please?